The Crossway by Guy Stack. Read by Lawrence Dobiesh. A figure carrying a staff and scrip was etched onto a stone by the cathedral's southern porch. Around him was written La Via Francigena, Canterbury to Rome. At that point, I knew nothing of the holy road to St. Peter's, but as I lay on the grass, an idea took shape in my mind. Why not keep walking? Why not leave England and walk to Italy, and then keep going, to the edge of Europe, on and on to the world's most sacred city? The following day, I learnt what I could about the Via Francigena. One website listed the names it had been known by: Lombard Way, Frankish Way, Chemin des Anglois, Via Romea. A second website listed the Anglo-Saxon kings who travelled its lengths: Cadwallader and Conrad, Offa and Ine, as well as Alfred the Great and King Canute. A third explained how, in the year 990, the Archbishop of Canterbury also travelled the Via Francigena to collect his pallium from the Pope. On the return journey, a scribe noted every town and city where they stopped. An image of that manuscript showed a page of numbered Latin names, some of which I recognised. 1. Urbs Roma. 26. Lucca. 38. Placentia. And 54. Losanna. Although the Via Francigena was the major pilgrimage in Northern Europe, this itinerary was the only one to survive from the period, and when the pilgrimage was revived a millennium later, it formed the basis of the modern route. The Via Francigena also continued south, beyond St. Peter's. In Albania, it became the Via Egnatia, a Roman road across the Balkans. From Turkey, a patchwork of crusader paths led all the way to the Holy Land. Rome, Istanbul, Jerusalem. That was it. That was my pilgrimage. If people asked about the plan, I told them I wanted to explore the major crises in Christianity: the collapse of belief in Western Europe, and the exodus of Christians from the Middle East. It was true, but it was not the truth. It was not reason enough to wander out of my life. There was another reason, though one I kept to myself. That time of unhappy confusion was over, but I was not better. Or rather, I was better, yet less, much less, than I had once been. Brittle now, and hollow too, and knocked down by the slightest of blows. I thought the journey might build me up again. I walked to mend myself. But this reason I was ashamed to admit. I do not believe in God, do not believe in miracles, and do not believe that a sacrament can cure a sickness. Therefore, when friends wanted to know about the journey, I said that I needed some exercise, that I could not drive, that I didn't own a bike, and was afraid of flying. They laughed and wondered if I would ever return. I said little more to my family, only that I was going on pilgrimage and would be home before the year's end, as Benoît Joseph had done. 3 months after that midsummer hike, I handed in my notice. 3 months after that, I moved out of my flat. New Year's Eve, I spent at my parents' house, staying up late to repack a rucksack, fitting in a sleeping bag and tent, waterproofs and notebooks, 6 pairs of socks, and a mouth organ for when I was bored. My mother made sandwiches, wrapping them with the last of the Christmas cake, and next morning my father drove me to Canterbury.